Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. From Within Podcast, episode number 26 is out now. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, please go boot up Spotify, Apple Music. Click that subscribe button so you're up to date on all the current podcast episodes. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up X, go boot up Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them, contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. On today's episode, we had to track down our friend Nate, plays guitar in a band called Hereditary out of San Diego, California. They have a record out titled Can't Stop It, which is awesome. I was blown away when I saw them live back at Program when Prowl was on tour, and I was just impressed with the music and knew right away that I had to have somebody from the band on the podcast. So luckily Nate answered that call, which I'm so happy he did. It was a fun episode. I was happy to be able to sit down and talk to Nate about the band, hear about his origins and everything that he has going on, which I'm just so hyped on. I love seeing the younger generation of hardcore just putting in the work, right? He's out there with his bands, doing his job to promote San Diego hardcore, which I think is awesome. So if you're not familiar with Hereditary, please, I highly encourage you to please hit pause, go boot up Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Bandcamp, wherever. Go listen to Can't Stop It. It's an awesome record. And then you can come back here and you can listen to Nate and I chop it up about all things Hereditary. We get into some rap and hip hop talk, which I'm always a fan of. I'm always down to talk about rap and hip hop outside of hardcore, outside of K-pop. That's a genre of music that I'm really into. Always up to date with the news. It's an interesting world. I'm not super high on a lot of artists, but the hip hop space is always pretty entertaining, especially with the people that I follow and the podcast that I listen to. So there's always something crazy going on, especially out here with West Coast hip hop, for anyone who's familiar. And if you're at all interested in some Hereditary merch, please head over to foreverendingrecords.com. There's a bunch of cool Hereditary merch. The label merch and other bands have merch up there too. So please support Forever Ending Records. But like I said, go listen to Hereditary and then come back here and listen to Nate and I chop it up. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Nate to the show. Recording. Welcome to the podcast, Nate. How's it going?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for being down, man. This is super awesome for me. I was trying to think back to that night that I saw Hereditary at Program, and I cannot remember what show that was.
Oh gosh, was it the first one or the second time we played Program?
I think it was the first one. Actually, I don't even know because I've only seen you guys there once, if I'm being honest.
Gotcha. We played with Prowl, and then the first time around, I'm trying to remember that lineup. So if it was the Prowl show or if it wasn't the Prowl show.
Okay, now you're jogging my memory. It definitely was the Prowl show.
Okay, yeah. That show was cool. The first one, not so much.
Shout out Prowl. Yeah, those are the homies from Canada. They were on a full U.S. tour at that time, which is crazy, because even for a band from the States to do a full U.S. tour, it's wild. But for a band from Eastern Canada to travel down and do that, I think it's really crazy.
Yeah. Quebec plates and all.
100%. Okay. So I we'll build up to that, but I'm just so curious about you, because when I look at Hereditary, kids that are younger than me, so it's like inspiring to know that there's still this younger generation coming up and doing awesome things. So can you just kind of give a breakdown of your history with hardcore, like how you got into it, and where you grew up?
Yeah, I was born in Vegas, but I moved here when I was super young. Grew up here all my life. So I got into hardcore at like 13, I think. My first show was in 2016, December 2016. It was Take Offense, PSO, this band called Instinct, a bunch of other like LGP and Chula Vista hardcore bands at the time. It was a group of my cousins and like some of his friends or whatever that brought me. And it was super cool. They had me like set up like behind the drum kit. I was like, what the hell is going on? Just like watching everything unfold. But I kept going to shows. Cousin kept bringing me. I didn't have rides most of the time, so I'm just like begging my dad to like bring me to shows wherever they pop up. But that was kind of the intro, I guess, of like how I started going to shows.
And I'm curious, is your like cousin still around today? Are they still involved?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was doing a record label called Undertone Records for a long time. I think he put out like Lower Species. He put out the Wise demo, a couple other bands, like this band called Lurk, Primitive Blast. Yeah, so that was their thing for a while. He still goes to shows and stuff, but he has kids and a wife now, so he's got other things to tend to. But he's been doing it long before me.
For sure. Well, I think it's awesome that he was able to, or that they were able to bring you, and now you're like a mainstay down there, super involved doing bands and putting on for the scene. So I think it's awesome that you stuck around, because a lot of people will show up, and obviously it's not for everyone, but for you to have stuck around and to be making an impact, I think it's awesome.
Big time.
And before you got into hardcore, were you playing music at all, or did that happen after you got into hardcore?
I was always super into music. I think around the same time, like 13 or so, I started like making beats or whatever on my Mac. But I was always like listening to music. I think I was very big on hip hop at the time, like when I was getting into it. So it was kind of like a perfect formative period, like that 13-year-old like trying to figure out what you like and shit. Just like, here's the next thing. And hardcore just happened to be that. So
100%. No, I definitely know what that's like, because I had a similar experience. I was a freshman in high school and I was so lost, because from like elementary and middle school, I was always hanging out with like an older crowd, with my cousin who's a year older than me, and like with him and all of his friends. But when I got to high school, they didn't bully me, but they were making me like putting me in really weird situations, like stuff that I didn't really want to be around. So I was like, God, I got to find my own, like my own crew, my own friends, because I can't be around this anymore. And struggled for a while. But then I stumbled upon hardcore because my sister, who's the same age as my cousin, a year older than me, she was like, hey, like you should check this stuff out, you might be into it. And then from there, I just like fell in love and I've never stopped.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I like that you got to see Take Offense early on, because I think Take Offense is an awesome band and like really important. Like whenever anybody mentions like San Diego hardcore, I'm sure they're in like the top 10 of everybody's list, because this is such a great band. So I think it's cool that you're able to see them very early on in your hardcore journey.
Sure.
Okay. And I want to start with Hereditary. Can you talk about how this band came together?
I had just finished playing in a band called Pessimista, and I still wanted to play in bands and stuff. So I had a few songs written already, kind of got them recorded and demoed out and fleshed out or whatever. And then I approached my brother one day and I was like, yo, would you ever be down to do vocals in a hardcore band? He's not into music. Like he listens to music or whatever, but he's not like instrumentalist or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you want to do vocals in a hardcore band? And he was like, yeah, I'd be down. And it was like also his kind of formative period of like kind of starting to go to like my shows and stuff, and I'd be seeing him mosh or whatever. So I kind of just felt like it was time for him. But like he's 17 now, so he was like 16 or so when we started. But I just like threw him in a closet with a microphone and just like, I was like, yo, here's what we're going to say. Here's how you're going to say it. And that was kind of the thing. But it was a cool bonding moment. Cause like I've been making music all my life, and to like finally be in a project with him is really cool.
Yeah. I think it's awesome that he was able to be down and not, you know, let the pressure get to him, because to sure. get, you know, like to be like, hey, like you got to record this, and just not really having any experience, it can be like a really like nerve-wracking experience.
For sure. Yeah. No, it was, especially like, he's a very, like, he's much shyer than I am. He's much, much less like outspoken than I am. So to see him be like front and center of it all is kind of cool. And I think it puts him out there in a good way that I think he needs, you know, but he's used to it up there now, I think.
Yeah, no, it's cool too. Cause right. I like when, you know, you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. I feel like those are the moments where you learn about yourself. Cause if you're able to just, you know, get through life and just being in this nice little bubble where you're okay with everything, that's, you know, to me, not the way life should be lived. I always like, you know, trying new experiences and, you know, learning, right? I'm always open to gaining knowledge, because I'm very open about not knowing everything. I'm like okay with asking questions to, you know, get the answers to the things that I want to know. So to be able to, you know, put yourself in those situations and be okay with it and do it continually till it becomes normal and you're okay with it, I think that's really awesome and really brave.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you.
Okay, and what about the other members? Because, like I said, seeing you guys at Program for the first time, I'd seen, you know, your band members around, and I was like, oh, I had no idea that they were even in a band. So I think that was, like, a nice surprise for me. So can you talk about the other members and how you came across them?
Yeah, so Brady was actually, like, the first other member that I invited to, like, kind of start fleshing out these songs. Like, I had riffs written and, like, kind of patterns that I wanted them to go, and I knew I'd wanted them to be written that way, but he kind of just filled the gaps and stuff. I think we hopped in like a rehearsal room no more than like 6 months before our first gig, and I was just like, let's figure it out. I live with him now, which is kind of sick. Yeah, so Brady's doing his thing. He also plays in a band called Abstain, and then he drums at Gleam as well, both okay. from down here. Mm-hmm. And then Gabe, who's on second guitar, he plays in a band called Purest Bond. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's a little Kardashian. It's hilarious. And then we have our buddy Luca, who used to play in a band called Schizoids. And then he plays in a bunch of other projects, but he's super musically talented. He kills it on bass. So we're glad to have everybody involved. I think it's a super cool team.
Mm-hmm.
And like before anything, like we're friends. Like these are people who've been around us for years to come. So it was cool to like finally be like, yo, like, let's make like a little group together.
Yeah, I think that makes things a lot easier too, because you already have like a special bond there before the band. So you like, because I know bands where they've kind of, you know, it's kind of like a job. Well, they'll just go like hire talent, which is fine, you know, everybody does it different. But I think being able to be friends first and then be able to have that band is something special.
Huge. It's huge.
Okay. And you mentioned Schizoids and, you know, featured on the first record, which is cool. Right. Yeah. So I see. And that's something that I'm learning, too, because I had no idea that, you know, obviously there's a relationship there, but I didn't know you guys were actually like friends. So that's, that's something really cool to know. But can you talk about why you chose for a Schizoids feature on the first record?
Honestly, it was probably just like a random decision. I had like that little breakdown or whatever that he's kind of doing his thing over. It was empty at first, and I felt like there should be lyrics there, but I didn't know that it would like flow well, I guess, with like the previous verse going in. So I was like, you know what, I guess Ransom can hop on. Ransom is the vocalist of that band, and he kills it all the time.
Yeah.
And he always makes it out to every show to do his part. Like, it's fucking cool.
That's awesome. I love when that happens, because you know, sometimes you'll go to a show, band will play a song that has a guest part, but then they hand it off to someone like, you know, one of their other friends or some random person. And I'm just like, man, it's a little more special when it's the actual person doing it. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And can you talk about what it was like to, you know, produce and record that record?
Oh, I mean, I've been doing it for a long time. So it was kind of just came naturally. I'm always like writing riffs and demos and stuff. Again, I've been making beats since 13, so I've kind of just like gotten familiar with Logic Pro, and that's just what I've been using since. And it's what I do when I get home. Like, I don't even think about like, oh, do I need to like force myself to make a song or like a project today? It's just like, okay, like what am I going to work on today? This, I don't know. This is what I've been doing.
And is it like, in terms of like, cause I know you mentioned you make beats, but when you're like writing like hardcore music, is always like in terms of like, you know, Hereditary first, or do you have like other projects you're working on?
Hereditary is my primary thing right now. I know I have something in the books with it's called my buddy Sergio, who played in my last band Pessimista.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few tracks that we're looking to release soon, but just like putting together a lineup and lyrics and everything. We want to make sure it's a cool release.
Okay, and is it in like a hardcore band or what type?
Yeah, yeah, more like hardcore punk and stuff.
Okay, and from your perspective, can you talk about what the San Diego hardcore scene is like these days? Excuse me.
It's awesome. I mean, like we don't get as many shows down here. I feel like bands like will go to LA and then be like, all right, we're packing up and going home, or like unless they come to TJ, like they might stop in San Diego, but. I think it's cool to see more and more kids coming out to shows. Cause you like before COVID, like you'd go to shows and there'd be 30 people there, and like, while it's fun and like everybody there is friends, like it's cool to see more and more kids want to be involved. Especially in a place that I call home. Yeah, it's cool. There's all sorts of different types of hardcore going on. I feel like shows aren't pigeon-held to one genre, you know. Mm-hmm. You'll get a show lineup with a post-punk band opening for like some of the heaviest hardcore bands coming through, you know. So it's cool, and everybody kind of digs it. Yeah, I don't know. I love San Diego hardcore.
And do you have any like relationships with like the scene in TJ? Because I know like, you know, shows go down there every once in a while, but do you guys like actively like try to communicate or, you know, have some sort of bond with the people down there?
I actually haven't reached out to anybody down there. I know Violencia is always up here and they're always doing their thing. But no, we haven't. I've actually never been to a show down there. I'd love to though.
Okay. I've been to one right show. Yeah. Yeah, really. This was like years ago. There was a band. They're still active to this day. This band from Yuma, Arizona. Shout out to my friends in Beg for Life. They were
here, yeah.
Yeah, they had you know, they'd always play shows in San Diego, and then they were playing Tijuana, and they're like, hey, like, you should come. And this was back when like you could just cross the border. You didn't even really need a passport. You know, it was like super easy. So we were, I think, had been like at least like 18, 19, just like young kids just crossing the border to go to this like dark, dingy bar to see Beg for Life. It was definitely an experience, but I would definitely like to try it again, because like recently I went to Bogota for Hardcore Fest.
Oh.
And
yeah,
it was awesome. It like exceeded my expectations. So I definitely want to go and, you know, see other scenes like outside of America.
That's super cool. Apparently the Philippines has a really cool scene. And like, it's like in Manila, I see like Regulate has gone out there and stuff, and their shows are like nuts. So
yeah. Combust was just touring through there. You know, they played Jakarta, they played the Philippines, and it looked insane. Like I'm so stoked for them. And yeah, that's the like stuff I see on the internet. And it's like, wow, like I definitely want to experience more of that.
For sure. No, I'm excited to travel.
Okay. And these days, you know, it's awesome to see like Hereditary getting a bunch of love, because I'll just looking at your guys' Instagram and seeing all the flyers for just the shows coming up within the next month. It's like, wow, you guys are like pretty busy and on some awesome gigs. Can you talk about, you know, what's that like? And like, why do you think like that's happening, that you guys are getting like these great opportunities?
I don't know. I mean, we show our face around and like we're active participants of our scene and stuff. And I feel like any active participant of the scene gets that same treatment. You know, like we're very, very thankful to get the opportunities that we get. And like, we've played nothing but sick ass shows. And, I want more. It's also just like a lack of bands, you know, like I feel like compared to LA, like you have every other band to open up every other show, but there's like a bunch of like, we're like one of the few bands that are like really doing it down here, so to say. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's interesting. Again, like it's awesome that we're getting the shows. I mean, I've been here since 13, so like it's cool to like finally see myself playing the lineups that like I was stoked about when I was a kid. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it's awesome. Obviously the music speaks for itself. That's like the, you know, obviously the big reason why I wanted to have you on, because like I said, going back to that Prowl show, I was just not tapped in, but as soon as I saw you guys live, I was like, all right, I was like, I think this band's awesome. So I'm really stoked that you guys are getting these great opportunities, and I hope that the people that aren't in tuned, you know, that are at those shows, you know are able to, you know, experience it and then, you know, get into your guys' music even more, because I think what you guys are doing are awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Okay. And can you talk about, you know, you mentioned that there's not a whole lot of bands out there. Yeah, because when I think of San Diego, there's only like a couple of bands, like active bands that come to mind. Like I think of, obviously, you guys, Abstain, Bent Blue, right? They're still around.
Bent Blue, yep.
Yeah. And then I have a buddy who plays in a band called Palace of Mourning. They just released a new single, which is awesome. But outside of that, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't really, you know, come up with a lot more bands.
It's cool that like a bunch of like we're finally getting to a point where like all of our friends are starting bands and stuff too. So like we have our buddies in Sangre, who just started up their thing. They're on like their second show, but they're already doing it.
Okay.
In Headstone, they just put out like a 2-track promo, like more of like the heavy metal hardcore stuff. The other band I play in called Intercom, it's more like hardcore punk, but it's cool. Like there's definitely bands down here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like shows just get booked in a certain way and I don't really have control over it, so I just play the show and it's fun.
For sure. No, I get it, because yeah, booking shows, it's a very interesting process. I can tell you that from firsthand. But can you talk about like venue wise? Because obviously everybody knows the Shea. See that Soma's still doing stuff, but where else do you guys have shows down there?
There's not too many. You know, like obviously Shea is doing their thing.
Yeah,
venues open up and close in a matter of 6 months down here. There's and half of them aren't even actual music venues. They're just spots that like to host shows, and then certain things happen and then they don't want to host shows anymore. Mm-hmm. So my buddy Danny has been doing a bunch of cool shows in his backyard, and he does like stage management for Live Nation.
Okay.
So he has like the whole stage and the PA and all that stuff, and he kind of has it figured out and he has it dial in. So like we have all sorts of shows going on there. We used to have this spot called Rebrew Spirits. It's in Logan Heights, I think. And that one, it had a super cool stage. There were a bunch of cool shows getting booked there. I think Greg and Ricky from Take Offense were the ones booking shows there and stuff. But I think they've since filled that room up with just like more alcohol or whatever. And then now we have this spot in Barrio Logan called Corazon, and that one's cool because it's all ages. And yeah, it's hard to find all ages spots down here. I feel like we're constantly like booking at the same venue and stuff, but what can you do?
Yeah, it's, you know, part of the ongoing struggle. Yeah, and all ages venue is definitely important because you know, just me not really paying any attention to like age limit and going to like an, like a 21 and up show, like you can clearly see the difference versus like going to an all ages show.
For sure. No, definitely.
Yeah, we're,
I mean, I guess also like in terms of like that, like you have Brick by Brick, Soda Bar, like Tower Bar, all the different bars that do punk shows, but it's like, it's not the same live experience that you get from like a Che show or a Corazon show. Like they all just, I don't know. It's like the limited access kind of kills it, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
like the hardcore is run by the youth, you know, like there's not much livelihood going on with a bunch of 30-year-olds just like standing there with arms crossed and stuff, you know, like it's cool to see people move around.
Yeah, the young kids with the energy. Yeah, because I'm that 30-year-old where I'm just like, all right, if I'm gonna mosh, I gotta, you know, conserve my energy. And most of the time I'm holding a camera anyways, but yeah, that is very true. We need those young rambunctious kids that are full of energy to be there and provide, you know, that atmosphere for the hardcore show. So yeah, all ages venues are very important because yeah, we don't need to, you know, have these, like they're nice sometimes and I get it, but yeah, if I could have the choice, like I would definitely prefer to have an all ages spot versus having to do a 21 and over.
100%.
Okay. And the like later half of 2023, you guys put out your last release, Can't Stop It, which was awesome. You had some great features. I want to talk about both of them. We already mentioned Take Offense a couple of times, but can you talk about you know, how you got that feature and was that important for you to have another local band featured on your record?
Yeah, the goal was to get two of like our local favorite bands on it, but we were gonna like even just stack up and make it three records with features, but like obviously things happen in a certain amount of time and yada yada. But it was super cool to have that to have Anthony on the record. He actually came to the studio and like knocked it out, and like we got to like totally have like super cool conversation about like how he wanted to do his take and stuff, and he was like, yeah, I know you guys have lyrics written and stuff, but like I got mine and stuff. It was really cool and exciting, especially because like that was my first show, and like I've been going to their shows for as long, like 7 years now. Mm-hmm. So, and like it's like my cousin's favorite band and stuff too, so like it was definitely like a big felt nice in the heart, you know. But also just to like, I don't know, it felt like a, I don't want to say like a torch being passed down, but it's cool to like kind of have like the old heads be like, yeah, this is like the thing now, I guess.
And was there a relationship with them beforehand, or did you just hit them up to do the feature?
Yeah. No, I'm always like, every time I'm at their shows, I'm always hanging around my cousin and stuff. And he's big friends with them and has been since before I was around. So like, I'm a face that's always there and like is saying what's up and stuff. And they all know me. So it was cool. It was super important to me.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's awesome too, that they're willing to do that. Cause obviously there's plenty of examples where, you know, older bands don't want to support the younger bands coming up, kind of, you know, not really being a gatekeeper, but they just, you know, don't want to support, which to me is always weird. It's like, hey, like if there's a new young band popping up in your scene doing cool stuff and they want some help, like I feel like people should lend a helping hand, especially if they're in a position to, you know.
Great.
Okay. Well, I think that's awesome because, like I said, yeah, Take Offense, awesome band. But the other feature that you guys have is from Big Boy, which is another band that's just killing it right now. They're a band that I saw when I went to Bogota, and I was blown away by their reaction because they always have good reactions, but just being in Bogota, I just didn't know what to expect. But to see them have like a crazy set, I was like, this is so sick, and I was just so happy for them, and it was an awesome experience.
No, it's awesome. They're all super cool. We met them on the they were riding under Tsunami's Full US, I think. They came to town in February last year.
Okay.
And we got the opportunity to open up, and they checked us out, and they came up to the table afterwards, and they were super stoked on our set, and they were like, "Yo, you guys need to come to the Bay." And we've like time after time just like trying to figure out a date that would work for all of us. You know, Jacob's in school, we all work. So it would have come down to like a random weekend or something like that. And we wanted to make it like a full thing or whatever. And so we're just like constantly hitting each other up, and like we're still on a talking basis. And I was like, "Yo, I got a spot on the record. You want to come on?" And he dug the lyrics, he dug the song. And it was cool to have him as well.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, that being the title track for the record, but it's also my favorite track off the entire record.
Sure, thank you, man. That seems to be the general consensus.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And can you talk about that song, or why you decided to pick that one as like the title track for the record? Was that like name already in place, or did that come after the fact?
So we had no name for the record. And then, but we had song names, and then I just felt like Can't Stop It summed up kind of like the theme of the four tracks, which kind of just involved like, you know, Power to the People, just like a lot of the same topics that me and my brother are like very fond about and write about. And it seemed like a cool like summary for all the tracks pretty much. So it was something we came up with like, honestly, probably like a couple weeks before we dropped it. Mm-hmm. We're like, all right, I guess this is the official one.
Yeah, well, I think you chose a good one because it fits, and I think that when I think of the record, I'm just like, okay, that name and everything like, you know, that comes with it. I feel like it doesn't seem out of place. I feel like it makes complete sense.
No, I totally.
Okay, and can you talk about Forever Ending Records?
Yeah, so that's just like my little DIY cassette label thing. It kind of started as like an umbrella to just like put everything that I do creatively under. Because like my ADHD ass wants to do everything. So like I'll be doing music or whatever, and then also want to like produce records for my friends or whatever. Engineer their stuff. I do a little bit of art and graphic design, so like a lot of it is kind of just like a unit for like the creative stuff that I do, and I guess and it's also been cool to involve some of the friends in it as well. I've been able to put out like cassettes for my friends' releases and stuff that don't have access to other physical releases, and it's cool. Everybody's rocking with it, I think. And I'm glad to have like super cool friends that are super supportive of it.
No, I think it's awesome. And yeah, to have something to kind of like house everything under is cool too, because I feel like just like over time you're able to, you know, obviously go back and look at like the body of work, which is cool, and
for sure.
Be able to have that collection of stuff. So I think it's awesome. And do you have like long-term plans with it, or are you just kind of, you know, taking it day by day?
Honestly, day by day, as is everything. I try not to force any of it, because that's when I feel like it's like not ever going the way that I want it to. So a lot of it just comes when inspiration comes, or like whenever like one of my friends' bands are ready to put something out, I just like shoot them a DM or whatever. I'm just like, yo, let's do something. And yeah, no, it's cool. It's a fun creative outlet, and I think it it allows me to give back to a scene that I care about.
Yeah. And I think that's important for everyone to have some sort of outlet, because obviously hardcore is a big outlet for all of us. Right. But I always like to, you know, do more. So for you to have the, you know, Forever Ending Records, that's cool. So I always encourage people too. It's like, hey, like hardcore is awesome. If you can give back in any way, you know, doing more than just going to shows, like, please, like, you know, step up, do something. Like, it's always better to have more people trying to give back instead of just showing up, if that makes sense.
Sure, big time.
Okay. And I'm just really curious about, you know, you mentioned you've been making beats since 13. How did you even get into that?
My dad and older cousins were always listening to hip hop. So I think that's gradually like the genre that I kind of chose to be like the one that I would get into. I think around like sixth grade, I started getting like super into Odd Future and like that whole camp and stuff. I had a few friends who like I saw were like making beats on FL Studio and stuff. It kind of like, it was like multiple reasons. I was like, oh, my friends are making beats. I'm into hip hop. Like, why not just give it a shot? And for the first year, they fucking sucked. And like, it was something I kept going back to, and I didn't realize they sucked, but I was like, I just want to keep making beats. And it's cool. I mean, I like them now. So I've definitely gotten to the point where like I'm comfortable with like what I'm creating and I have a style going and stuff. So it's fun.
And did you have anybody like teach you, or are you just doing like, you know, trial and error? Like how did you even learn how to make beats?
I've been using a ripped copy of Logic Pro X. I probably shouldn't say that, but it's like something I just like found on Reddit. I was like, okay, I guess this is the DAW that I'm going to work on. And then just lots of YouTube videos and trial and error, pretty much.
That's crazy. Have you ever seen those videos where like where people do like the Soulja Boy challenge, where they'll make his beat
as quick as they can?
Yeah, they may do it in like 10 seconds. I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on. This is pretty impressive.
No, it's such a fun process to like put everything together.
Yeah. And I watched on your Instagram, I think it was the last for example, which I really like that name because it's pretty clever. Can you talk about, what that whole process is like for you? Because it seemed like, for me, I had a lot of fun. I'm like, oh, cool. This guy's like creating like on the spot and just kind of letting us watch the whole process, even with like, you know, your roommate being loud in the background and stuff like that. I thought it was fun. So I really like being able to, you know, consume like that content from you. Cause obviously I'm a fan of like Hereditary, but to get to see this other side of you too, I think that's really fun.
Sure. I've always wanted to be like a music producer as like my career path. And I feel like music marketing and promotion can just get really annoying and cringy at times. And like, I feel like I wanted to just find something that like can put me out there in a way, but like in a way that I like. I was always the kid like trying to start YouTube channels and stuff. So like being on camera, like holding up as if I'm vlogging or whatever, kind of like made sense already. Like it wasn't like something new. And the videos that I'm making just happen to be like with things that I like doing, such as making beats and stuff. And, it kind of just like a lot of it was, I don't know if you've heard of this series called Rhythm Roulette. It's like, I think Mass Appeal does it. They take a bunch of random producers to a record shop. They pick three random records while blindfolded and they sample whatever they can do. And, that was like something that was huge in like my developmental phase and like making beats and stuff. So that was like a series that definitely inspired this one a lot. And I don't know, it's cool because like every episode I try something new. I try to go to like a different platform of like whether I'm sampling cassette or vinyl or like just some shit that's on my playlist on Spotify that like you wouldn't even think of sampling. No, it's cool. It's a fun creative outlet.
And that whole like, for example, videos, like do you do a lot of editing or is that just like raw, it's just like straight through?
No, big lots of editing. Okay. Subtitles are annoying.
Yeah, I've tried to dabble with some of that, even just for like short clips for like TikTok and stuff. And
sure,
yeah, it's not fun because like I'm like, oh cool, like let me just leave this to AI, but then I'll go and like review it, and it's like, oh no, this is like not what we're saying at all. Like I then have to go back and go back and fix it. So yeah, so I'm not gonna do subtitles for a while, maybe in the future, but I totally understand what you're saying. And I'm sure you're familiar with the YouTube channel Genius, super popular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They have their own series where they'll get like a producer and they're like, oh, like how'd you make this beat on like a, you know,
for sure,
like crazy popular song. And watching like their videos, because I wasn't familiar with the series that you mentioned, which I will check after we get off here, but to watch you know, the producers on Genius do it, I was like, wow, this seems like, you know, really complicated, but like, you know, to see like the actual producers break it down, how they created these beats that, you know, became like platinum songs, it's just so fascinating to me, because them sitting in that chair, they probably know that they have a hit, but you know, they probably couldn't have imagined like how big some of those hits actually became. So sure, it's pretty wild. I highly encourage anybody who hasn't seen the Genius ones to definitely go check this out, because they're it's really fascinating and really fun to kind of get to see that side of music.
No, that series was definitely huge in like me figuring out like that I like this as well. It's like, holy shit, like I'm listening to the record and then watching them break it down in front of me, and they're like clicking the exact drums and stuff that they use. I'm a nerd about that shit. I think it's super cool.
And are you still into like hip hop and rap these days?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
Okay. Because for me, I feel like I'm not as like into the music as I once was, because I'm just like you know, trying to find rappers out there, but there's like a lot of stuff that I just listen to. I'm like, oh, this is not for me.
A lot of garbage out. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of it.
Yeah. But
no, there's definitely like that pocket of like people who still try to make like the 90s rap and stuff, and like the stuff that like older heads would deem as like, I don't know, like the classic stuff or whatever. Like there's all sorts of people trying to imitate that stuff. I mean, like the Griseldas, anybody rapping on an Alchemist beat, like it's all still out there.
Yeah, there's this rapper that I found on TikTok. His name's Connor Price. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's like this guy. He does like creative skits to, you know, to like promote his music, and like, it's not like the most gangster music, but it's just like, I think he has good beats, because I'm pretty sure he does everything. Because like even in his skits, he, you know, he's playing multiple characters, but then I feel like his rapping skills are actually like pretty good. And I'm like, wow, like I didn't think I would get into this, but he's probably someone like, you know, that I've been listening to like a lot these days. But then obviously like all the mainstream stuff, you know, is not some of my favorite stuff. Like I feel like probably the most mainstream rapper that I listen to these days is probably like Key Glock, but sometimes like I listen to it analyzing the lyrics and I'm just like, this is just like crazy stuff that I can't relate to. I'm not doing any of this. It's just to me, it's just like I just very you know, interested in hearing these like crazy stories being told, if they're true, mm-hmm. you know.
For me too, like even if like the lyrical content isn't something that I agree with or live, you know, in my life, the next best thing that I focus on is the production of the beat. So like if the beat's good, but they're not necessarily talking so much, then I can dig it. But also the other way around, you know, like if the beat isn't that great, but they're talking about something that I love, like I can also dig it.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time wondering like why and how Playboi Carti is like so famous. saw him once at the Observatory, which was wild. But it's just so mind blowing to me. So just like following his career is always interesting. And then there was a guy, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, this guy named Mario Giuda, who like popped up for a little bit. And then just like, yeah, so just like following stuff like that. Because like that whole like SoundCloud era, I was definitely like really into. Like I'm a huge fan of Juice WRLD, rest in peace. I was able to see him twice. So I'm like very thankful for that. But then even like, you know, XXX, I think back to like, when I was supposed to see him, but you know, he got knocked out down in San Diego. Yeah.
I remember when that happened. That was such a crazy night. I wasn't there, but that was, I remember seeing it like all over friends' stories who were there or whatever. And just like, what the hell?
Yeah. I remember I was at work when my buddy texted me. He's like, yo, the show got canceled. And cause you know, obviously it happened down there at Observatory in North Park. And then he was supposed to play the next night at the Observatory down here in Santa Ana.
Right.
but they canceled the show, and I was like, damn, this is such a bummer. And you know, also he had beef with like Rob Stone, who's from your area.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then
come down.
And then after that, I just like, you know, he like blew up and got even more famous, and I just never had the opportunity to see him again before he you know, got murdered. So that's crazy. But then even just like, you know, seeing people like Lil Pump, who's still around, which, you know, terrible music, and it's crazy to kind of live through like that whole SoundCloud era, because it's definitely over these days. I don't know anybody who's repping SoundCloud or even from that era who's doing too good. I think probably the most famous person is probably like Lil Yachty, who's doing still like really good.
Yeah, true.
But outside of that, I don't think a lot of them are doing that well, which is crazy because at the time they were the hottest thing in rap.
Yeah, yeah. Like come and go just like that. And I think that was something that was like predicted, though. Like I remember like a lot of rappers talking about how it wouldn't last, and like you look at it now and it really hasn't. I'm trying to think of like that XXL freshman class that year. The only people who I can think of that are still around are like Denzel Curry, fucking maybe Kodak Black. But like even him is like, you kind of just see it shooting off. But
yeah. I think Lil Dicky had the best XXL freestyle. He's good.
He's all right. He can get up there, bro. He can do his thing.
Yeah. But it's been years. It's probably been like 2 or 3 years since I've even like looked at like the list and wanted to watch the cipher, because like it got to a point where like I don't even know who these people are.
Exactly. That, and it's just like what are we talking about? Like we're just up there doing the same thing as 2017, 2018, 2019. Like there's not, it's not fresh anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just I feel like there's a what's it called? It's very formulaic, you know.
Yeah. And then also like it gets like very political, or like, you know, people get snubbed that definitely should have been on there because sure. You know, for whatever reason. And it's just, yeah, just weird stuff, but I follow this I guess you call him a journalist. A lot of people hate him, academics. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh. yeah
very controversial, but I like hip-hop and stuff. Like I follow like him, and then Joe Budden. He has a great podcast. I know a lot of people
love
hate
Joe Budden. Yeah, Joe Budden's awesome. So funny.
Yeah, it like he, what he's been doing with that podcast has been great, because they used to be on a show back in the day called Everyday Struggle, which I thought
Everyday
was
Struggle, yeah.
Yeah, which I loved. I look forward to that.
But then it was like the thing a while at Complex.
Yeah, because these days Breakfast Club is like in a really weird spot because Angela Yee left, yeah. And Envy's got to go to court for scamming allegedly scamming people, and then Charlamagne is just trying to hold, it seems like he's trying to hold everything together, but yeah, it's just not the same up there anymore.
Not at all, man.
Yeah, so, and outside of them, it's like, yeah, it's like Joe Budden, academics, and then I used to watch No Jumper, which another controversial like platform.
Yeah. No, he actually has some hardcore connects.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Yeah.
No, I had no clue until I started watching like that Incendiary interview. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. They did a vlog where they went and saw where they went to the Incendiary show.
I think I remember this vlog.
Yeah. And
they brought Lil Pump or whatever.
Yeah, I it was so long ago, I can't remember, but yeah, but I definitely know he has hardcore ties, because I'm trying to think of what other hardcore bands because Incendiary.
He did Zabalba.
Yeah, Zabalba was up there. Yeah, it's crazy. But for anyone who like followed like the No Jumper universe, like I stopped watching once like Lil House Phone and like AD and Duno and T-Rail, once they split, that's where I left too, because it was just like I feel like he still does like his like, you know, hip hop interviews or whatever, but then it just became like this whole other thing where I just didn't want to watch him, because the people that I actually liked, like Adam was like okay, he's like whatever, but I was more of a fan of the other co-hosts. I felt like they made the show is like more interesting and fun to watch. Sure. So when they left, I just kind of followed them to their platforms and what they're doing now, which is still fun. And like No Jumper, I'll pop in every now and then when they like will like have somebody on, like Van Lathan or just like, you know, somebody that I think is interesting. I'll pop in to see what the interview is like, but I don't follow it like I used to.
Yeah, me either. The only other one I can think of is like Drink Champs. Like Noriega is doing his thing.
I like what they do, but their interviews are hard to listen to because like I feel like they don't even talk into their mics. So I don't know what mics are picking up their audio, but it's so echoey and so loud. And it's like, God, this is like hard to listen to. But yeah,
they're fun. Celebrate and clap every 30 seconds. It's like, all right.
yeah. But yeah, they're still like good out there. Like Shannon Sharp just did a 21 Savage interview, which that was awesome. Obviously he had the like super viral Cat Williams interview that he did a couple weeks ago, which was listen to that whole thing. That was fun. But yeah, I feel like there's not like this like central hub for hip hop for me. So like I'm just trying to get it from all the people that I used to, but they're all over the place. So I'm just like, you know, trying to get it where I can. So it's fun. But I used to like it when it was less outlets for me to have to travel to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what about you? Like, how do you try to stay, up to date or with that kind of music?
Definitely through podcasts and stuff. Like, again, like that Joe Budden podcast. Interviews are big. Anytime an interview comes out from like one of my favorite artists or whatever, more than often they're talking about their new album or like artists they like or whatever that would be on the album. Honestly, it's like a lot of it too is just like you find out through whatever streaming platform you're on. You hear a person on a song that you like and you're just like, okay, like here's another catalog to go check out. And then that becomes like a new rapper to you, so to say. But yeah, a lot of these rappers run in like the same camp and stuff too. So like you get like, if you find out about West Side Gunn, like you're going to find out about the rest of Griselda and stuff and then dig into all of that stuff. And then like all of the rappers that they associate with. So it's just like a big tree, you know, that I kind of just like follow down each little route. And that's how I found out about it all.
Okay. And yeah, for anyone who follows like my hardcore playlist, I do a hardcore playlist monthly. Like we take the month of January off because obviously it's the first month of the year, so we wait for all the releases to drop and then we update it for the first time in February. But it's called Hardcore Caviar, which is a play on Rap Caviar, which is like the most popular like rap hip hop like playlist. So for anyone who ever wondered like why the hell is this guy calling his hardcore playlist Hardcore Caviar, it makes no sense. That's why. But it's cool. Yeah, rap's fun. I feel like the biggest thing going on right now is like Nicki Minaj and Meg Thee Stallion beefing, which is like the craziest thing. If anybody's following that, I'm not really a fan of either, but just to see Nicki Minaj just going off and saying the craziest stuff and seeming like she's on some drugs when she's doing these like live streams, it's wild, and who knows where this is gonna go. But they're both saying crazy stuff, and apparently Nicki Minaj was to drop like a second diss song today because they've already dropped diss songs, which is funny. But she's supposed to drop one today, which is something that I'm looking forward to. It's supposed to come out at 3:00 our time.
Shit. Okay, Nicki.
Yeah, she's going off. she's doing her thing, but
she went off on that IG live.
yeah, she's crazy. But but getting back to Hereditary. Also, you guys have a busy February coming up. Do you have plans to put out new music in 2024?
I'd be down to do like a split, I think, of some sort with another SD band. Besides that, I'm just like kind of just writing whatever, and then whatever stacks up is what ends up being the project.
And are you like aiming for like another EP or like a promo, or are you just you're set on a split?
It would probably be because like we have two EPs already, so I think it'd be cool to do a split just because splits are awesome. But maybe after that, do like a little like a 7-track EP maybe, but I don't know. This band doesn't strike me as like an LP band. So it was always just like something. It was just like me and my brother writing songs. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of what it's always been to me.
Okay. And do you have any bands in mind for the split, or is it like too soon to even talk about?
I'm thinking about doing with Intercom, who I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. I play bass in that band, and I think it'd be a really cool like split, because like they do more like the hardcore punk stuff, so like super stompy and stuff, and we do like a lot of like, I don't know, the heavier stuff, like the breakdowns or whatever. So I think it'd be a cool dynamic for us to kind of like take from each other's style or whatever and put it on one thing.
For sure. I love splits. I still think back to that the like Incendiaries of Alba split back in the day.
What a split.
Yeah, because look at both those bands. They just grew into these like crazy, like even better bands than they were at that time.
Just monsters now.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, Incendiaries, that rare band that can, you know, obviously they don't play, they're not a full-time band, so like whenever they do play, it's a big deal. And I feel like Zabal was like on that same tip, right? Because like they're not super active, but when they pop up, it's definitely a meaningful moment, right? They just had their record release. They're, you know, touring, you know, in South America right now.
Yeah, so. I was going to say the homie Mikey's touring with them.
Oh, sick. I only just see Zabalba stuff on Instagram, so I had no idea who's with them. But that's wild. But that's awesome. So hell yeah. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, hearing whatever new music you guys put out, because like I said, I'm definitely a fan of the band. And outside of the shows you already have announced, what about any like touring plans? Is that something on the table, or you guys just want to keep it local still for now?
I'd love to tour. I think it'd be awesome, but it matters more to me like what Jacob wants to do. My little brother, he's in school, you know, he's in his senior year. I don't know what he wants to do afterwards, whether he wants, because he's been talking to me about like doing EMT stuff and all this. So I don't know, just based on availability, I'd love to tour, but I just care more about like what he's comfortable with and stuff too. I think that's the consensus amongst all of us. I think they've like in terms of like the other members or whatever, like they all just kind of understand that this is like a, like me and Jacob's thing. It's like a brother thing. And they're just like down for the ride. So it's super cool. But, we're doing, I think it's going to be Bakersfield and Fresno in February. So that's like the closest thing to like a tour we've done or whatever. Just a little weekend. It'll be like a Friday, Saturday thing. Friday in Bakersfield and Saturday in San Jose. Yeah. And we're still trying to figure out the official lineup for Bakersfield, but San Jose, I think it's Forced to Suffer, this band called No Gimmick, and then another band called Lockjaw. And then we'll be, that whole run, we'll be touring with Abstain and Bare Minimum from the 805.
That's awesome. Shout out Abstain. I'm a huge fan.
And shout out Bare Minimum. That band's fucking sick.
Yeah, I got to tap in with them. I haven't had a chance to check them out yet.
They're awesome.
Okay.
And they're running off of three tracks right now, but they're doing their thing and they're playing everywhere they can.
No, I love that energy for bands to get out, because that's the one thing that I loved when I would book shows, when I would hit up a band, even like a band that was a little further out from, you know, from program, and just for them to be like enthusiastic and be down to travel, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a mission to get out there, but for like those bands to drive so far, I'm like, all right, that's awesome. That says a lot. So for a band like that, you mentioned at Bare Minimum, just out there putting in the work, I feel like that's a really important aspect of hardcore, is getting out there, right? Because you can record a cool album and that's awesome too, but I feel like another important part is to getting out there and playing shows wherever you can.
Yeah, hardcore isn't hardcore without the shows.
100%. No, I definitely agree, because we all experienced that. And you know, back when the lockdowns happened, it was first time thing for all of us where we weren't going to shows, and it was like the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It was like, to me, it was like a real like eye opener, because for going to shows for so long, they were always happening. There was never a thought of them stopping at any point. So like, I remember it was out here. There was it was like, I think it was the Acacia Strain and like Rotting Out. They like, they were supposed to play. Well, they did play, but they split up the show. They played twice just to like kind of like, you know, spread out the crowd. So there was like a afternoon show, then like an evening show.
Sure.
And just like stuff like that happening. Like, oh, this is crazy. Like, I, you know, like we're also used to just like, you know, just showing up and going to like a normal show and not having to, you know, not have it for a while. So yeah, playing shows is, you know, one of the most important aspects of hardcore. So if you're in a band, new band, get out there, play a lot of shows, get in front of people.
A lot of them.
Okay. One thing I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with Fallbrook?
California?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
I know, weird question. There's a band from back in the day from Fallbrook called Life or Death. And I think they were just like always like so underrated like for their time, and I was just I'm curious if people from like you know like the newer generation of kids from San Diego, if they're you know familiar with Life or Death, or if they even care.
The name rings a bell, but no, I haven't dug into them.
You should. They're super sick. All you know, if you have a Spotify, they're on Spotify. I don't know who's out there putting their music like you know up on these DSPs like to this day, but
yeah.
But it's awesome because like being able to listen to like a band like that from back in the day today, it's awesome.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I gotta check them out.
Okay, and where can I get a hat that you're wearing?
Oh, we got them up on the Forever Any Records web store.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll post the link in the bio, but. Nate, I really appreciate your time today. Before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
Nothing crazy, man. Shout out to San Diego. Shout out to San Diego Padres. They had a shitty season last year, but we'll get them this year.
All right, there it is. Thank you, Nate, for your time today. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, man.